It's time for the Charlotte FC podcast.
Block, Tuzbiak's going to get it back. Westwood, rather Vargas, the touch, the finish!
Goal!
The Alba, whipped in, good ball! Oh! Christian Kalina, a save to save the season!
Crowd belongs to Charlotte! And Charlotte FC, if the results hold, have clinched its first playoff berth in club history!
Host of the Charlotte FC podcast, where we talk beyond the pitch with the fascinating people that work for and around the club. Today on the show, I talk with Major League Soccer's Senior Director of Emerging Ventures, Mihir Kumar, to learn about his job, the start of the MLS Innovation Labs, and the intersection of technology and soccer, as well as his journey to working for Major League Soccer and more. Enjoy, Mihir.
Welcome to the Charlotte FC podcast, Mihir. How do you introduce yourself?
Sure. Well, first of all, Nick, thanks for having me. It's great to meet you, and I'm excited to chat with you about all things MLS, Emerging Ventures, MLS Innovation Lab. My name is Mihir Kumar. I'm the Senior Director of Emerging Ventures here at Major League Soccer. I sit in our league office here in New York City in Midtown. And I'd say I've been at the league for a little over a year now, and broadly what my roles and responsibilities are, I would say, is to drive innovation across the MLS ecosystem. And that manifests itself in a variety of ways. I'd call it, one of them being MLS Innovation Lab, which is a new program we just announced in January, in which we're bringing in great, young, new, innovative technology companies into our ecosystem, helping them grow, helping them develop, and ultimately, hoping to officially partner or invest in some of these companies, and as the league, continues to grow into the future.
And then on the other side of things, if it's not with the Innovation Lab, what kind of emerging technologies and other things are you focused on doing?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think broadly what I'd say our team does, and we're a small team, there's four or five of us here that focus on this, is broadly we look to drive new business, new innovation for that MLS ecosystem. So that would be things like new properties or sort of net new, big revenue opportunities, strategic partnerships. Generally we think about how can we improve on the field, how can we grow our fan base, and how can we sort of grow our media presence. So we're a cross-functional group. We work very closely with all the other sort of experts across the league. We also work very closely with the clubs, of course. And broadly, I think we're just we like to think of ourselves as a resource really focused on net new opportunities for us.
Focusing on that innovation, not only externally, but I'm sure internally too, things that would help you all do your work better as an organization.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think, for sure, those are all things that pop up. I think what's really cool about the role for me is it's different every day. We get pulled in a lot of directions in a very exciting way. I talk to founders and I learn about what they're building and what their priorities are. I sit with all the experts around the league, of course. I want to understand, what is our marketing team hoping to achieve? What is our media team obviously thinking about? What is our consumer products team? What is our competition, group thinking about? And so we want to make sure we're a resource for everyone. And, we sit in a unique seat where we're out there, we're seeing a lot, we're hearing a lot. People are coming to us a lot. So it's sort of be the filter for different groups as well.
Yeah, I remember I did some consulting work for Google, and when they would have us come in, they would say, tell us the craziest idea that you want to have happen, because the more we know about how people are thinking and what they want, we can either find somebody that's developing that and help it work in our ecosystem, or develop it ourselves. So
exactly.
Is that what you do?
I think that's exactly right. It's sort of that build by partner framework. That's sort of the way we think about a lot of these opportunities. You know, is this something we should incubate or do in-house? Is there a great third party? Is there an existing partner, you know, that we work with already? Is there sort of like a joint venture or new opportunity? So I think we're always evaluating those different options for, I'd call them just cool new projects that Major League Soccer is focused on.
And it's probably never a dull day. So let's talk about, and you got to learn a lot about all of these. So can we break down some of these things that are in the innovation lab? So
broadly, you know, I think the biggest cool thing about Major League Soccer, in my opinion, is there's Major League Soccer, there's Charlotte FC, there's all the other clubs, the 29, soon to be 30, you know, tier one professional, highest caliber talent clubs. But beyond that, the MLS ecosystem is much broader. There's MLS Next Pro, which is, you know, our second tier league. There's MLS Next, which is, you know, the academy system we've developed, which has, you know, 14,000 plus players and 10,000 plus games across the season. There's MLS Go, which is the rec league, you know, just announced, which we think could grow to be 2 to 3 million kids. And then there's obviously, you know, there's Leagues Cup, there's some of the other properties that Soccer United Marketing manage. And so I'm saying all this because I think a lot of people don't realize that beyond MLS, there's the MLS ecosystem, which is this big sort of pyramid-like structure. And so what that allows us on sort of the more innovation or venture side to do is almost plug and play, you know, like what are some things that we can test here, or what are some things we can iterate on at the MLS Next level to see if it's ready for MLS Next Pro, to then see if it's ready for MLS, or even the other way, what are some things that can go downstream to, you know, how do we get more youth into the soccer ecosystem? How do we grow MLS Next? Things like that. Yeah. So the point of me saying all that is that our ecosystem is incredibly unique, and that provides us with this opportunity to add some structure to innovation. And I think historically, the way that we approached this was a little bit haphazard. You know, random companies would show up at different events, or, you know, people had different ideas. And so ultimately, MLS Innovation Lab is meant to be a structured approach to innovation into that MLS ecosystem that I just described. And so what that manifests itself as is a calendar throughout the year where we have testing opportunities for companies that have been selected to be a part of the MLS Innovation Lab. And they get to come, they get to showcase their technology, they get to integrate directly with teams, with clubs, they get to meet the CBOs and the CSOs and all the kind of key league office personnel. And so we're giving them that official access to this ecosystem. In exchange, you know, we're evaluating them ultimately to see, could this be the next big technology partner for us? Is this an investment opportunity that we think could grow to be something really cool? Is there just something, you know, really big we can do with these companies? So ultimately, it's a structured way for us to do that last bit of diligence on these companies. We get to see them in the real world. And when you think about the value prop, it's, you know, we think, well, I don't want to speak for everyone, but we think it's very, it's very valuable for these companies. If you're a company like Achamps, which is a cognitive training, soccer specific training system, be affiliated with MLS Innovation Lab to be able to put your product in front of thousands of MLS Next teams and MLS Next Pro teams, to get FaceTime with all 29, actually all 30 CBOs, to have the potential to pitch to our ownership group at All-Star. You know, if you're a soccer tech company, it's almost unmatched value. And so that's sort of the genesis of this program, is we think there's some great value exchange that can come from it.
Before you dive into any more, like how does one of these companies get into being a part of the Innovation Lab? Because I'm sure there's hundreds that want to be a part of this.
Totally. And I think one of the stats we like to quote is, so our inaugural cohort, we're calling it the class of 2024. So, you know, that's running through this current year. So in 2023, you know, me and my team looked at, I believe, something like 450 plus different companies or opportunities or technologies that we evaluated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we whittled that down to the six that are officially, you know, we invited to be a part of the program. So the other part I'd say that's really cool about this is it is a vast ecosystem. It's the cohort is global. Obviously, soccer mm-hmm. is global by nature. The cohort is also not just soccer. And I'm happy to talk more about that, right? Like there's technology here that Major League Soccer as a league and as an enterprise can utilize, but could also be utilized by, you know, more traditional media companies or obviously right. other sports leagues. So we were really wide with our diligence or with our, you know, bandwidth of what we were looking at, but everything fit cleanly into three core buckets. And those three things that I think I've already mentioned are on field, right? Player development. Mm-hmm. How do we make our soccer as good as possible? The second is fans. How do we grow our fan base? How do we more deeply engage our fan base? How do we do more cool new things for our fan base? And the third is media. How do we continue to create incredible, you know, awareness and sort of fan engagement media property for this league? And so everything we looked at over that last year, all 450 plus opportunities fit cleanly within those three buckets. And I think that framework is important because, like you said, like there's just too many things out there, right? Like right. there's so many things that could make sense, could fit. And so we were very, I'd say, diligent about sticking to that framework because ultimately it's not just, hey, we launched MLS Innovation Lab. This is a cool program. Like we really want to get great value out of this. And we want to make sure we're providing great value for these companies. So if you're a random, really cool tech, but it's probably not feasible for us to utilize or implement or test, mm-hmm. it doesn't make a lot of sense. And so we always wanted to stick to that kind of framework of those three buckets.
So that would be part of their pitch is like how it could be relevant to what you're doing so you could see the value.
Totally. And I would also say, you know, as much as I'd like to narrow those three buckets down, they're pretty broad, right?
Yeah.
Fan engagement is as broad of a bucket as it gets. You know, right. so many things could be thought of there. Player development, like I said, you know, doesn't necessarily have to just be a soccer thing. It could mm-hmm. be a data thing. It could be a camera thing. It could be a other sports thing. It could be, you know, maybe not even a sports thing. So, and then media is obviously, right?
Right.
As wide as it gets as well. So.
And three of them are AI-based type systems, which makes sense because if you're doing innovation, AI is where it is right now.
Exactly.
That's good. And I'm sure you'll talk a little bit more about each one of those, but I just feel like that's an area that we as a global society, we have not tapped into what really AI can do best. So it's kind of neat to think that that's also going to be part of it. I mean, AI has been used for a long time, but not in this generative way that totally. It is now. So that to me feels like it can take it to a new level.
Completely agree. And I mean, I think it's obviously not just us thinking about AI, you know, within this enterprise. Every club is thinking about it. Every department here is thinking about it. We really view it as like a layer on top of everything we're doing. But definitely, you know, there's a couple companies that utilize the technology. And then there's one in particular that I'd call, you know, very standalone, like an AI technology right. that we think is really, really interesting. So AI is definitely, you know, it's the buzzword of today. It was the buzzword of 2023, and I'm sure it'll continue to be. But I think the technology is very real, and there's some incredible applications that we're seeing already, you know, within MLS, obviously within sports and media as well.
All right. So HAMPS, they're from Barcelona. They work on cognitive and technical training system for athletes for all different skills. So like, what is the connection? What are you all looking at for them?
Yeah, so HAMPS is, you know, we think a really high potential company, like you said, based in Europe. So they have, I think, some existing scale in Europe. And I mentioned this already, you know, we're really proud that this cohort is global because soccer is a global sport and innovation is obviously global as well. HAMPS, ultimately, we see two interesting use cases for HAMPS. One is sort of an at-home training system for likely kids. That's probably their target. right? This is a technology that can be packaged into a physical product that can then be put on, you know, in your backyard or in a school, like in a gym or something like that. So there's sort of like a broader consumer application that we think could be really interesting. But then there's also, you know, the ability for them to kind of connect various devices together. And so mm-hmm. there's actually a club or sort of team training system use case as well. So we've, without getting into too many details about what we're doing, you know, we've tested and evaluated them in both of those settings. And, you know, part of what we're working on is helping Killian, who's their founder and CEO, think about product positioning, think about, you know, how this product could be best positioned for the soccer market in the US. Yeah. And the way that practically works is getting a bunch of people to use it, getting a lot of feedback, getting Fred Lipka, who runs all of our youth programming, to opine on, right, how this could be used for player development, getting Justin Bachmeier, who runs MLS Next, to think about it as well. So part of, again, this is true for all these companies, is we really are trying to connect the dots for these companies, for the key stakeholders that can help advise them, help show them, right, like these are the different ways it can be used, et cetera. HAMPS, great team. Yeah, they're super hands-on. I think there's a lot of potential there. We're excited to keep seeing how they do.
So would it take like using cameras and things like that, taking a kid's skill and kind of tailor and kind of help them, like, this is how you could do it better? Like, does it react to their... Yeah.
There's a world where there's a camera sort of layover for sure. And right, there's feedback that can be given. What it is right now is basically laser sensors that sort of go mm-hmm. off, and they, you know, the colors mean different things. And so it's meant to sort of work on reaction and timing and things like that. Now, like you said, there's layers to this. There's so many other sort of interesting things they can develop. They're in the process of developing an app where you get feedback on your sessions, right? So there's mm-hmm. tactical training. There's, you know, educating mm-hmm. coaches on how best to use products like this. That's right. Another angle we're taking is, right, like, how can this system in particular help with your soccer training and your soccer development? So I think it's a flexible product, which is really cool. Yeah. Killian, like I said, he's a great founder. He's very hands-on. He's very flexible. And so, you know, we're working on the right positioning for him.
That makes sense. All right. And then we have CAMB, CAMB.AI.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
So CAMB is the company I was referring to that I would say is probably the most unique, definitely not soccer specific, but it's the most AI focused. Mm-hmm. So very, you know, I was more of an expert here, but very tactically and practically, what CAMB AI's technology allows you to do is, if I'm speaking to you right now in English, in real time, CAMB AI can ingest this video and spit it out in 104 different languages. Without
me
using, with my voice, with my emotion, right? So mm-hmm. imagine you're a commentator, right? Imagine you're Taylor Twellman and you're commentating this MLS game and something amazing is about to happen and you're getting passionate and you're getting excited. All of a sudden we can capture all of that in theory, right? We're testing all of this. We need to validate it. But in mm-hmm. theory, this system can capture that and you know, output it into Spanish, but not just Spanish. It's Spanish in Argentina versus Spanish in Mexico versus Spanish in Spain, because those are very differentiated. Right? Our fan bases are different in all of those markets. So the long-term vision of CAMB, and I get excited because I think this one is super cool, is, you know, as MLS looks to more deeply engage with non-US and Canadian audiences mm-hmm. or, you know, our Hispanic fan base, this could be an incredible tool to, I call it, hyper-localized content. So create very hyper-localized content targeted at, you know, very specific segments of our fan base to more deeply engage those fans, to grow those fans. Maybe there's an international market that we start to think about holistically as an enterprise. This would be an amazing tool for us to go into those markets. So CAMB is
really
is
anywhere. And I mean,
anywhere.
This to me is one of the most exciting things. In my profession, I I've trained teachers on technology for 20 plus years. And so like this would fit perfectly. Like you're talking, you're doing something. I got an audience that's wants to learn the same stuff. I don't have to travel all the way to Mexico. I can do it here and it streams it out. So like that kind of stuff is totally exciting, especially for a global game. Like
exactly.
You want to be able to feel that in your own language, but still be able to have access to this, you know, otherwise you're like,
authenticity, right? The authentic, yeah. The last thing you want to hear is a robot speaking to you, right? It sounds very monotone and it sounds obviously like that, you know, we all know what I think I'm referring to, which is
right.
It sounds right. Just boring. And soccer is the most passionate, the most high energy, the most, that's what makes it such an amazing sport to watch and engage with. And so if we can capture that with this without losing any of that fidelity of, you know, authenticity of that local language,
personality, right? Exactly. Because that personality now is saying, well, wait a second, you don't have just my English rights, you have my every rights. And so they're going to catch on and be demanding of, you know, different things, legality, because you're like, well, wait a second, am I doing the Spanish games now too, even though I'm in English, you know?
Yeah, that's something. I mean, we're very early here. So we obviously have a lot of, you know, operational work to do, but I would say the folks we're engaging with internally, so our media team, our marketing teams, like they're really excited. The clubs are already really excited about this. So this is a really cool one. And I think it's a great example of, right, like this was not even a sports thing. This was not, definitely not a soccer. This is a LLM model that we're feeding content to. So it's really a little bit left field, but it's very practical for what our global aspirations are.
Yeah. I mean, across all those levels, media, just helping people understand things. I mean, it's just going to help assimilate a lot of things. All right. The next one, Fabric. Tell me about Fabric. Gamified, yes. Mixed reality.
Exactly. You nailed it. So Fabric, what I would say is think of Pokemon Go, but for the fan experience. So Fabric is a mixed reality layer. And what I mean by that is it's a mobile app or sort of a mobile view. Mm-hmm. And it helps us drive fans to specific locations and helps those fans engage with different things in those locations, unlocks rewards, there's loyalty involved. And so this is, we think fandom is sort of moving in this direction where, you know, we want to see what's happening on the field. We want to more deeply engage with fans in and around the venue. We want to engage with fans at home. So Fabric can almost create like a scavenger hunt type of environment out there in the real world. And, you know, it's super cool technology. They've got a great partnership with the NBA. The NBA used this technology in Indianapolis for the All-Star game, their game there. We have aspirations to do something similar. And so it's just a really kind of cool differentiated technology that, again, aligns very well with fandom. We want to get our fans to certain activations or layer in, you know, the ability for sponsors to be involved. Mm-hmm. We think this could be a really cool platform for that. We did a initial test with them at Next Fest in December. I think what we saw was super high engagement, super high return engagement. So it's not, you know, you're not just interacting with this.
You're just not consuming content.
Right, exactly. You want to unlock the rewards. You want to stay in this sort of mixed reality experience. And so this is one where we're tapping tons of folks internally because it could have, you know, really cool, it's just a really cool technology for our marketing team, for our events team, for our media team, right? There's so many different use cases for this. And so ultimately— And the younger audience. Obviously, youth is a huge priority. What a great way for us to, you know, more deeply engage with the younger fan.
All right. The next one up that's in there is Fit Together. That's a FIFA wearable tracking.
Exactly. So Fit Together, again, at its simplest, it's a wearable tracking device. So like a GPS type of device. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's many of these out in the market. Fit Together, like you said, is FIFA approved. And what that means is FIFA has publicly stated that they think Fit Together is the most accurate system out there. And they've done obviously extensive testing with Fit Together to determine that. Fit Together is a South Korean company. So they have great scale in South Korea, of course, in Asia. They have some penetration in Europe, but zero in the US. And so this is another great example of how can we work with Fit Together to obviously, you know, evaluate the tech and verify right. what FIFA has said. But secondarily, how do we create and sort of bring them to market here in the US? And so that's feedback, that's positioning of the product, that's pricing, that's all the sort of things they need to think about in order to tackle the US market. And so similar, great team, you know, they're super hands-on. They really want to win, which we love. So we're really excited. The clubs that have utilized the system are very, you know, impressed with the tech. It's all about finding that right positioning for them. You know, how can they, are they trying to be an MLS tier one level provider? Are they trying to be an MLS next provider? We've got to figure that out with them. And, you know, that's what we're continuing to do over the next several months.
That's cool. And then Replayer.
Yep. And so Replayer and Stadium are the final two, both camera companies. Replayer is super interesting. I'd call it a downstream focused video recording and automated clip highlights and distribution onto social media of those highlights, all automated. So think of it as a portable camera that a kid or a parent even could take to a game, very easily put on the side of the field, record in very good quality, be able to, you know, find your player, create automated highlights, put them on your Instagram, right? Things like that. It's a very sort of grassroots focused product. And we love that, right? Because there's tons of opportunity to use this to grow participation in soccer and grow awareness of different players and even maybe grow fandom for MLS next, right? There could be an opportunity there. So great team, young team, very motivated. They manufacture all their cameras here in the US. Just a very, very hands-on, motivated team and a company that we think that market we think is very big. And there are a few players in that market, but we, from what we've seen, their quality is better. You know, their latency is better. They're able to kind of live do some of this stuff. Their AI capabilities in terms of clipping and creating content out of some of these recordings is better. So, you know, we really love what we've seen so far. And we think there could be great potential there as well. Stadium, you know, similar in the sense that it's a camera company. It's more of an installed setup and they're able to sort of automate the entire production process. So, you know, back in the day when you needed a person on the camera, you needed a person cutting and distributing, they're able to do a lot of that automatically. So think of them like an AI camera, you know, similar to some others out there, probably a little bit higher quality and higher sort of
almost like a producer.
Exactly. Right. Respect. They're going for a slightly higher quality thing. And so, right. Maybe that use case for us is at the MLS Next Pro level or somewhere else, but you know, Stadium also just incredible technology based in Germany. Their parent company is called Sport Total. They've basically broken off their US operation and rebranded it as Stadium.
That's cool. You look at all of these companies, but you're helping them not just on, you know, because they're doing the innovations and you're helping them kind of see how it weaves with the US market and, you know, the things you have in MLS. But you also have to know a lot about business. So what is kind of your team and your background in that and helping places and, you know, companies kind of go to market?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great question. You know, ultimately, like I said, we want to make sure that there's great value on both sides. So for us, there's great value in evaluating these companies. Potentially, you know, the way the deals work is we could invest in some of them. We could do more kind of traditional commercial deals with some of them. So that's value for us. But we want to also make sure, you know, they're getting the most out of their opportunity. And that's through access, that's through advising, right? That's through helping them navigate that ecosystem. So while our MLS ecosystem is incredible and, you know, very broad, it's also a challenge to navigate, especially for some of these companies that are not familiar with the US market. And so part of what we want to do is be great partners for these companies. You know, we want to make sure we're giving them every opportunity we can. We're putting them in front of the right people. You know, if they have questions on how they should price, of course, we're going to help advise. By no means are we trying to be experts there. By no means are we like a traditional, you know, accelerator where we're taking a more active role. But if there's something we can help with navigating the US market, the soccer world, or the MLS ecosystem, we want to make sure we're helping them with that.
That's pretty cool. How do you see this role that you have and the ventures that MLS has in 5 years?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. I think what we definitely want is MLS Innovation Lab to be an annual recurring program. And so the way the calendar works is it fits very nicely into the MLS calendar. So the kickoff event, or sort of the first opportunity for these companies to come and showcase what they're doing, is at MLS Next Fest, which is in December every year. So that happened, you know, this last December in Phoenix. The second event is at Generation Adidas Cup, which is coming up here in about 6 weeks, which is at IMG Academy. The third event is MLS Next Cup, which is the next playoffs. I think this year that's in Nashville, and that's in June. And then the sort of the culmination of MLS Innovation Lab is going to be at All-Star. So at our All-Star week, three of these companies are going to have the opportunity to present to our board. And that's obviously in July. And so, you know, that's sort of the cadence. And then in theory, between July and August and September, right, we're making kind of our final evaluation decisions on these companies. And we're also starting to recruit for the next cohort. And so you start to see how this thing kind of becomes an annual cycle program that fits very nicely into the program.
How did the clubs interact with that? Are they given the option to be like beta testers, or is it kind of okay.
We always want our clubs to be, of course, be as involved as they want. We've had great sort of feedback and interactions with our clubs on many of these companies. So to date, all companies have now gotten time with each club's CSO. So obviously on the soccer side, and then also each club's CBO. So on the business side. And so from a top-down standpoint, I think, you know, the highest levels of each club are aware of this and what we're doing. We've talked to the CMOs about it. And then, you know, obviously I think the on the ground people, you know, the academy directors and the coaches and ultimately the players, right? There's gotta be player feedback as well. And so we are extremely grateful and always want to have as much feedback from the clubs on these technologies as possible. And another thing when it comes to sort of club integration and partnership is we want to know what they're interested in technology wise. And if it's something that we're seeing out there, like we want to help them find that technology and bring that to them, right? Like we want to be a partner for our clubs in this space. So broadly, that's another thing that I think about in my role is, are we hearing a lot of common themes from a lot of clubs? Maybe that should be one of our focus areas for next year's Innovation Lab. And actually on that topic, you know, the way that we see this thing maturing is the themes, I think, are always going to align with MLS's enterprise goals. So highest level, what that is we want to be the best league in the world, and we want to have as big and as engaged of a fan base as possible. But like I said, I think everything fits into that bucket. And so some of the things we're hearing on kind of new priority areas are, you know, venue technology. So obviously many of our clubs now own their venues. How can we sort of find great innovation for, you know, that could sit across venues? So maybe venues is like a new category we think about. I think health and wellness is another one where we know our fans, you know, our fans are obviously extremely passionate about MLS, but they over-index on caring about, you know, brands that are healthy, products that are healthy, things that are going to make them feel good, sleep good, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So how can we maybe find great new innovation in that sphere that could be appealing to our fan base? So, and then obviously AI, we've already talked about. AI is going to be a layer on top of everything we do. So I see sort of the five-year horizon of Innovation Lab as being a consistent yearly program. Themes might slightly change, but always, always we're going to be focused on what do our owners and what does the commissioner want for us as an enterprise to achieve? And we want to best, you know, help everyone achieve those goals.
Right. So how did you come to work for MLS? I know you were at, I think you were previously at a Overtime.
Yeah, So I've had quite a bit of a journey. So as I said, I've been here for, I started in January of 2023. So a little bit over a year, and it's been, you know, an incredible year for me. My career. So I was actually a college tennis player. So my sports background is in tennis. So I've always been, you know, aware and around sports. And I think I'd always had this goal or dream of working in sports one day. But to be completely frank, you know, I didn't really know what that meant. I knew that I was watching everything, every sport on TV. I was going to so many games. I grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana. So I'm a big, you know, Colts and Pacer fan there, but I knew there were people behind the scenes making this whole thing work, but I didn't know what they were doing. And so my career, I started in sort of a more traditional finance role. I decided to go do my MBA to sort of broaden my skill set. I worked in management consulting for a while. And then my first foray into sports, as you mentioned, was at Overtime, which is, you know, a really great sort of next gen sports media brand and company. And one of the big things I worked on was Overtime Elite, which is this new basketball league they started. And I was there for about a year. And I think that experience just solidified, you know, why I wanted to be in this space of sports and technology and media and innovation. It's just, it's so cool. Everyone cares about it, right? Like there's always a story to be told. And I think it's amazing the impact you can have as well. And so when I learned more about, you know, my now boss, Chris, and they, and I learned more about this team, I was just like, I have to go work here. And I'm very fortunate that it worked out. And like I said, it's been an incredible first year.
That's cool. If someone were to shadow you just on a day-to-day, you know, what would they see you doing?
Oh man, they got to wear sneakers because I'm running around all the time. I would say, we sort of alluded to this, is definitely no 2 days are the same. What's so cool about this role is, you know, I get to see a little bit of everything and be involved in a little bit of everything and think about a lot of different things as well. And that's at MLS, that's at MLS Next, that's with our clubs. And so I'm always sort of moving in different directions, which I really like, but it's definitely challenging. I think the coolest part or the majority of my time over the last year has been spent on talking and learning and meeting incredible founders in this space, understanding their dreams, their visions, what they want to achieve, and then going back and thinking, hey, can we help unlock something for them? Is there something cool for MLS and this company to do together? And then it's, okay, if there is, you know, how do we make that come to life? Because as much as I'd like to be the boss, like it's ultimately not my decision, right?
Right. So you can only present so much.
Right. Like we've got to get the right stakeholders involved. We've got to get the clubs involved, right? We've got to get the structuring done. And so that's always what I'm balancing, is sort of that external facing, right? Going out there and talking about what MLS and our venture group is doing. And then, you know, bringing it back in-house and making it come to life. I think that's always the challenge, but it's so fun. And part of that role is working very cross-functionally, working with the different departments, understanding what they're looking at, what they want, what they need, so we can ultimately be, you know, a value add to all the different teams here at the league and then also the clubs.
Yeah. Do you have something in your work career that kind of stands out that, you know, like this is some sort of thing you've learned how to do and you kind of carry that with you each job?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one of my biggest learning lessons is, I think, you know, how important it is to obviously be humble about what you're doing and understand what other folks are doing. I think so many times we tend to work in silos and, right, I do this still, right? I get so excited about something, I go deep on something, but what I don't do sometimes is take a step back and say, hey, like, is this going to add work to someone's plate? Does this go against what someone else is working on? And ultimately, I think to actually achieve something, to actually get something done, and I'll use MLS Innovation Lab as an example, right? Getting MLS Innovation Lab launched, it's very great to talk about now, but the process of getting it over the finish line was, you know, we had to understand what our media team was thinking about, what our competition team was thinking about. you know, what our marketing team and what our clubs think about, of course, because ultimately what we don't want to be doing is putting a bunch of stuff in front of people that's not important to them or that's not additive to them. It all goes back to that value exchange. You know, we want to make sure we are being great to our partners that are in this program. We're being great to our internal stakeholders. And so I think the biggest thing I've learned in my career is, you know, it's very important to not work in a silo, to always think about what other folks are doing, to be empathetic, of course, right? To understand they have a lot on their plate. This week is a great example. MLS is back today. Today is Wednesday.
Right. Yeah.
Everyone is working on so many different things, not just this week, in the lead up to this week. I think a lot of people think, oh, the off season is a lighter time. Like, no. The off season is all about planning and getting the next, you know, doing better mm-hmm. the next season. And so I think, you know, remembering that and sort of having empathy for all the people that are doing amazing things here. And I can't say enough about how amazing and innovative different people are and different departments are here. So it's easy to work with them because they all think in a similar way. But I think it's an insight I learned early on, which is it's not good to force things down people's right. plate, right? It's you have to kind of go through
the buy-in,
getting the buy-in, getting the stakeholders aligned, because that's how something's going to be successful ultimately. You know, we cannot be top down with what we're doing. It's got to be sort of an organic, broad, cross-functional approach to innovation.
And as far as technology, of course, you know, you're in a position of innovation and technology. Did you always have some sort of like, because you said you know you played tennis, I think, at Northwestern.
Yes.
I even read that you're on the ATP.
I wouldn't say that. I mean,
I've played
some very, very low level tournaments, but
minor prize winnings, $200, right?
I could be out there. No offense to Major League Soccer and emerging ventures, but I would trade a professional career.
That was your life, the tennis, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. It's
so for like technology, like, is that something you always are like, that would be really cool if I could do something in sports and technology?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I wouldn't say I ever thought that specifically about technology, but more just innovation for sure. And the idea of, you know, growth and what's mm-hmm. next and how do we continue to grow and develop while not obviously forgetting about, you know, the past and the history and the richness of legacies, I think, are so important. And so that balance is definitely something I think I've wanted to operate in. You know, at Overtime, in that role, it was also a very innovative role because the company itself was very innovative. You know, they're mm-hmm. considered sort of the, you know, the next gen sports media brand, I'd say. Right. And so I think I had some exposure to, you know, obviously, like I said, I worked in finance, which is a little bit, you know, I wouldn't say stale, but just it's a little bit different in terms of but the process right. is still the same, right? The cross-functional nature of the work, the getting buy-in on different ideas. So I think some of those skills have definitely, you know, helped me in my career here at MLS. I think in general for me, you know, just being in the sports world and thinking about how do we keep doing better as a product, you know, the mm-hmm. soccer. How do we keep growing our fan base? I think those kind of big picture things are things that keep me up at night sometimes, but I love thinking about.
Right. Do you have something in your life or in your career that you would kind of pinpoint as like one of the scariest or like the most challenging because you had to take like a risk to do that and either it didn't pay off and you learned from it or it paid off and you were like, yes.
Yeah, that's another great question. I think there was two things I was thinking of. You know, one is I left sort of I'd call it, you know, relatively lucrative and stable career in the finance world to pursue my MBA. Mm-hmm. And the main reason I did that was, and, you know, I don't want to speak negatively about anyone or anything. I really actually love the people I worked with at that company, but I just didn't feel that deep passion for it. And I think personally, I'm someone that I love caring about what I do. And I love the idea of doing things that I'm passionate about so that I feel, you know, feel good about it ultimately. And right. so that decision was definitely scary. You know, like I went from making money to not making money to paying, you know, paying tuition and having student loans and things like that. And so I thought,
you're like, what am I doing here?
Right. I mean, that was a risk, of course. And now when I look back, you know, 5 years after the fact, it's one that I'm so glad, because it's really paid off and paid dividends. But even 5 years later, like, by no means did I think I was going to be in this role. And so the second one I think about is the management consulting job I was at, Boston Consulting Group, where I worked prior to Major League Soccer. You know, is one of those jobs, I would say, that coming out of your MBA, people strive for it. It's a great kind of exposure to the broader business world, and you work on different projects, and right, it's a kind of a classic job, but it's a very good job also. And for, you know, coming to MLS and joining this team where I didn't grow up a soccer person. I it's a new team. There was just two people, Jay and Chris at the time, was definitely a risk. And I'm a diligent person. I like to do my diligence on things. Mm-hmm. I spoke to Chris multiple times. It's a story for another day, but I actually met with Jay while I was in Doha for a project with my previous job, and he was there as well for the World Cup. Crazy situation, right? But I think it was a big risk that I took. I was starting a new industry, new career, et cetera. And so obviously one that I can't be happier that I took. I'm so excited that I made that decision, but those are a couple of things that I think about.
That's cool. I don't know how many times you've been interviewed, but is there something you wish people would know about you or they would ask you when you're interviewed?
That's a tough one. I really don't have an answer. I think, just having passion, and I hope my passion comes through. You know, I really am just so grateful for this opportunity to be here. And I know there's millions of soccer fans in this country, and obviously around the world, there's millions of MLS fans. And so I realize, you know, how important it is and what a privilege it is for us to be here operating and working here and sort of helping put a great product out there for the fans. That's ultimately what I think I take a lot of pride in, is that hopefully we're doing a great job. And so that's just something I would, in terms of advice I'd give to people also, is try to find that thing that you're every day. I'm so excited to come to work. I get here early. I like to stay late. Like I really just feel great about what I'm doing, and I'm so excited to be here. And I think it's something I would hope everyone would get to experience at some point.
That's cool. All right. The last part, we have one segment left in our show. We call it stoppage time. So these are just kind of quick answers.
It's stoppage time.
Do you have a thing you do every day, must do, personal ritual or habit?
Yeah, I would say workout. In the morning, I really like to get my day going with a workout. On days that I don't, I feel off. And I think, you know, people probably can tell I'm a little bit off too. So it's something that's important.
Is that a full like cardio thing, lifting? Is it kickboxing? Like, what is it?
Ooh, I should maybe look into kickboxing. no, it's probably more cardio. It's really just, I try to get a sweat. I probably sacrifice some sleep for it, but I think it's well worth it. It gets my brain going. It gets my energy up.
All right. Favorite unplugged activity?
I would say, you know, I live in New York City. I live on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, just walking around, seeing the buildings, walking through Central Park. I just love exploring New York City.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Cool. What about, do you have a go-to snack while you're watching a match? It could be a tennis match. It could be a soccer match, your choice.
Let me say, I'm a huge MLS fan now, of course. So let's say it's a soccer match. What I was thinking is I love sparkling water. So I'm always cracking open a can of sparkling water. And then something salty. Lately, I've been really into sesame sticks. They have them at Trader Joe's. They're really good.
Yeah. All right. Design. I talk a lot about this because I think this tells a lot about people and how they think. But design is everywhere. Design is in this innovation lab. Design is also in architecture. Do you find the interior part of design more interesting or impressive, or exterior?
Yeah. I mean, I would say exterior. And one thing I was thinking of, you know, nature. I think the greatest design in the world is just natural beauty. I love sunsets and sunrises and mountains and cliffs and things like that. So definitely exterior, even architecture wise, I think being, you know, this is true in New York, being outside and like looking up at something in awe or seeing sort of the intricate details of something is very awe-inspiring.
Cool. What about project? Starting a project or finishing one? Which one is more gratifying?
I would say I start a lot of projects. That's part of the name. That's part of my goal. So finishing is definitely gratifying. You know, when you get one over the finish line, it's always a group effort. It's always a cross-functional effort. And I think it's always great when it comes together.
What recharges you?
Yeah, I don't sleep well. I think I mentioned that, but definitely workouts and showering. I love sort of a soothing shower, a hot shower. It definitely, you know, makes
now, do you still play tennis? Because I would think that might be something you just get yourself recharged, go in a totally different realm.
Tennis is tricky for me now. You know, I think physically, you know, I'm a lot older. That's tricky. I'm obviously not at the level that I remember myself to be at. So that's sometimes a little
bit. That's probably hard too. Yeah.
But no, I do definitely play as much as I can. It's a little bit trickier in New York, you know, just court accessibility is low.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends here who play tennis. And so it's great to connect with them every once in a while.
Cool. And then I know you're not a big, you weren't until now, you weren't a big soccer person, but if you did, you probably played pickup and stuff like that. So definitely. If you were to play a position in today's MLS, what would you play and what kind of player were you? This would also probably be the same type of player you were in tennis. So
yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was, you know, a very tenacious person on the tennis court. I was very, very scrappy. So I think, and the other thing I was thinking is, you know, I think I saw the angles well, so I could kind of, you know, anticipate, cut things off. So I think I'd make a good defender. I love the hustle. I love to, you know, catch up to things. I love to be scrappy. So in another life, that would be for me, hopefully.
That's cool. Well, thanks for being on the Charlotte FC podcast. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Nick. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to seeing you again soon.
I am so, so grateful for having her on the show today. I think if I were to work for MLS, this would be the job that I would have high on my list. I also love some of the life lessons he already learned and shared with us that really make one bring potential and opportunities into action, both on a business and personal level. I expect big things from Mihir in the not-so-distant future. You can learn more about the companies that are part of the MLS Innovation Labs in the notes section of this episode. As always, thank you for listening to the Charlotte FC podcast. Join me, Nick Finelli, for next week's episode as I talk with Emmy Award-winning live TV sports director Thomas Hewitt, who directs Apple TV MLS Season Pass Productions. Please continue to follow us on X, Instagram, and YouTube at CLTFC Podcast. We would also love for you to 5 stars in your favorite podcast platform. Enjoy your week.